Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Be seated. In 2007, Professor Randy Pausch delivered a lecture to his students at Carnegie Mellon University that was along the lines of something that had become very popular at the time. The idea was that professors would think about what were the things that they really wanted to get across, what were the pieces of wisdom that they wanted to share before they would die. Basically, this was the concept. You would put together your wisdom and you would deliver a lecture, and it was like it was your last lecture. The thing was, Professor Pausch's lecture was different, because just a month earlier, he had been told he was only to expect 3 to 6 more months of good health. He had been fighting pancreatic cancer for a year, and he had been told that it was terminal. And so when Pausch took the stage with things that he wanted to share with his students, and also with his family, which included a wife and 3 very young children, it went viral. The video of this lecture went viral, and a book was published that would become a bestseller before Pausch would pass away in 2008. See, it seems that the wisdom that is shared in those thin places that we reach when life is near an end, an earthly end, it just makes people sit up and take notice. And that is what the words of today's scripture are. These are some of the last words of wisdom, advice, and instruction that Jesus is documented as giving to his followers. In the Gospel of John, from chapter 14 to 17, you can find 3 beautiful chapters of comfort and promise and teaching and heartfelt prayers from Jesus to his followers. And these words, I promise you, they made his disciples sit up and take notice. These words made the communities that told these stories down through the years, and these communities for whom the words were written down, they made them sit up and take notice. And they should make us sit up and take notice still today. That is the beauty of the living word of God that we find in the Bible. It speaks to us through time. It speaks words of truth and hope, and it is so very good to explore the levels of truth and hope that are spoken through the Bible all through time before we jump instantly to what it has to say to us today. Because admit it, that's what we really like to do. Open up our Bibles and say, what is this saying to me today? So first of all, this scripture today is a picture of Jesus with his disciples in the upper room shortly before he would go to the garden where he would be arrested. Now he has tried to tell them, what is coming, but they don't understand. How could they? How could they, really? He looks at all of them who are gathered there, who have become like a family to him, and he tries to pour into them everything that he can. He just hopes that they will retain it. He hopes that it will stick with them. And in this particular passage, we find him repeating something he has already said to them that night. Love one another. He had told them, love one another. It is how people will know that you are my followers, by your love. Sounds like a song. And this is a love that is not like human love. It is not a love that we know that is rooted in emotions and in feelings. It is not a love that is personal between people. That love that generally, while we don't want to admit it, there's some sort of mutual benefit to be had from that love. This is a love like God's love for his Son, like Jesus' love for his Father. It's a love that is going to look very, very scandalous to those who were in the room with him in just a few short hours. Because it is a love that is willing to sacrifice. It is a love for others that is greater than love for self. And it is a love that obeys unto death. That love. That is the love that Jesus wants his disciples to see existing between Jesus and his Father. That is the love that Jesus wants the disciples to know exist between Jesus and them. And that is the love that Jesus wants his disciples to share between each other and to the entire world. Jesus calls them all friends that night. Friends, not servants. And I just want to point out that, like, love in this passage is more than the love that we understand in a human way. Friends here is more than what we think when we hear it. Friends here is loved one. People who love Jesus and whom Jesus loves. Friends are people who love Jesus and are called to bear fruit for him. And those people there in that room that heard these words from Jesus that night, that is exactly what they did. We are here because they did it. Now, beyond the people in the room that night, this passage also spoke to people who told this story after it happened. This scripture spoke to those communities who told this story and the communities for whom this story was eventually written down for. These were communities of people who found themselves persecuted, who found themselves misunderstood in a way that could lead to their death. These were the communities who needed to be reminded who and what they were putting themselves at risk for. Communities who were, as the years went on, beginning to lose contact with those who had been in the room with Jesus that night. Beginning to lose contact with those who had walked the roads with Jesus, who had seen his miracles, who had had their feet washed by Jesus, who had their hearts opened, who had seen the risen Christ, who had known so surely because their eyes had seen it themselves that the gospel was life. So these communities were suffering, but they were having those moments. They were having those moments. They were having those doubts that could crawl in and infect them. These were communities that could turn on each other. Communities who could turn against God. But this scripture was a reminder to them that God suffered too. God loved us so much that he would give it all to show us how much he loved us. And this scripture reminded those in those early communities that when they suffered for their beliefs, they were in excellent company. They were in excellent company. And beyond this scripture being a reminder of the love of God, these communities would be reminded by this scripture of the commandment that Jesus left with them. It was a commandment to love each other, no matter how nitpicky your differences were with one another, no matter what your disagreements were. It was a commandment to love one another, to be unified in the midst of the worst that life could throw at them. To love each other through it all. And to bear fruit. Don't hole up. Don't go hide. Don't give up. And those who were there in those communities, those who were friends of Jesus, those who were beloved by Jesus, they did just that. We are here today because they did not give up. Now, finally, beyond the people in the room that night when Jesus spoke these words, beyond those communities of first believers, there are all of us gathered here today. What do these words offer to us? Well, first of all, these words cannot say to us today anything that they did not say to those back then. And so it says all of those same things to us today. Jesus' biggest hopes and dreams for us are the same as those that he hoped and dreamed for those that he first spoke them to. He wants us to love each other. He wants us to love each other the way that his Father loves him and the way that he loves his Father. Sacrificially. Obediently. Not driven by emotion or fear or guilt, but driven by the Spirit. Augustine said that God is the lover, God is the beloved, and God is love. That in the Holy Trinity, we see what love is from all sides. Love in the Trinity is a love in community. It is a supernatural love, and that is the love that Jesus wants to define all that we do and all that we are and all that we say. Everything. All of it. Jesus spoke in that room that night, and this story spoke to the first church about loving others. And we hear it today. And it makes sense. It's not always easy to follow, but it makes sense. Just as it made sense to those first hearers and those first readers. But what is different when it falls upon our ears today, unfortunately, is that we have lost something that first century culture had. a real sense of the importance of community. Jesus' words were heard initially by people who knew in their hearts, who had been trained from the moment they were born to understand that community was more important than the individual. When he says in this passage that he wants his followers to abide in love and to keep his commandments so that they will have joy in them and that their joy will be complete, and when the commandment that he underlines to them, the commandment that he underlines to them that will bring them joy and obedience to it, is that they should love one another. Well, their hearts weren't exactly the same as ours today. Joy to us today, earthly joy, tends to center around what we can do and what we can have as individuals. It seldom has to do with what we can do in community for each other. But that is what Jesus is telling us today. That a life of true joy is a bigger life than the life of just one person. A life of joy is a life in community, tied to God and determined to bear his fruit in the world. A community that is marked by love focuses on others. It is a love that does not need to be right. It is a love that does not dominate or demand. It is a love that gives and gives and gives, and when it thinks it can't give any more, it gives some more. A community that knows what God's love is. David S. Cunningham, he put this so beautifully that I just have to close today with what he says. A love like God's is not limited by the scarcities that are imposed by time and place. We know that we can have a few friends. We will have even fewer lovers. But God's love, we can have that for everyone. For God's love is far more than a feeling of euphoria, but it is a disciplined habit of care and concern that, like all virtues, can be perfected over a lifetime. And this is a love that should be so deeply woven into our lives that we might be called upon to die for it. And we would call that joy. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we look at you and we look at what you have done for us, and we see this love that is amazing. A love that died for us before we were born. And a love that calls us to be willing to die for you and for each other. Lord, that is supernatural. That is beyond ourselves. But it is what you command. We believe as good Methodists that we are being called on to perfection, that we are being formed into your Son's image more and more every day. And Lord, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit that it might be so, that we might be better today than we were yesterday, but not nearly as good as we will be tomorrow, that we would be obedient, that we would be loving, and that we would be joyful. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.